Okay, the subject I want to talk about today, it's probably something, it's a critical subject, but it's probably something that you may not like to hear because it can be monotonous. And basically, I want to talk about the importance of daily, continuous study of the Bible. Now get that, what I just said. Daily, continuous study of the Bible, the Word of God. And something I've been doing, I want to just share what I've been doing recently. We've got a lot of these programs by Ron Dart where he reads like this one, Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. What I'll do is I'll put this in my computer, this CD, and I'll open up my Bible program, and I'll listen to it, and I'll read along with it, and then I open up my Word document, and of course, personal notes, I'll write in my personal notes, stop the CD, and I'm trying to go through one CD every morning. Now, I'm a morning person, and so sometimes I try to get up at 5, 5:30, 6 at the latest, but have enough time to go through one of these CDs. Now, you know, everybody's different. This works great for me. Now, Angela said she didn't like to be read to. So, you know, you may be that type of person. To me, the audio, the reading it has a greater impact as I'm going through these programs. But I want to look at a verse today in Proverbs 2 and verse 10. Tells us something here. Proverbs 2 and verse 10. It says, when wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul. Knowledge is pleasant unto your soul. Now, I have to admit, that's not always been the case with me, knowledge being pleasant to my soul. And one of the reasons is lack of time to receive the knowledge, to read the Bible, to take the time to read it. Obtaining knowledge can be an unpleasant burden. I mean, and one of the reasons for me is I don't have time for this. I'm busy. I mean, who's got time to study? Who's got time to read the Bible? It's not enough hours in a day. And you can become resentful because the time that it takes away from our already busy schedule. Now, if you're retired, maybe this works much to your benefit here. You've got more free time to do what I'm talking about, to study. You know, we are so busy. We spend our days not obtaining knowledge. We let days go by. We let weeks go by. We can even let months go by. And I haven't taken the time to do what I'm talking about today, the importance of daily, continuous study of the Bible. And what happens when you fail to do that? Well, what I think happens is your life begins to fall apart. It begins to stop working when you fail to do this. So we really want to focus in on this verse here, Proverbs 2 and verse 10. When knowledge is pleasant unto your soul. I mean, that's what you want to reach, where this is what I want. This is what I desire more than anything. I want it to be, you know, pleasant. Knowledge is pleasant and to my soul. I think you have to want this more than anything else. It has to be a top priority. And until it becomes a top priority, guess what you'll do? Well, you'll wake up in the morning and you'll think, okay, the most important thing I need to do is check my email. You'll think, the most important thing I need to do is, and you can go through a list of things that's more important than this. Somehow, some way, you got to come to a point where you want this more, you need this more than anything else. Top priority. If it means getting up 5 o'clock in the morning. Now, you may not be a morning, but you may be an evening person. Now, me, if I tried to do this in the evening, I'll tell you exactly what I'd do. I'd fall asleep. I wouldn't get anything. In Matthew 4 and verse 4, this is the temptation of Christ. Satan had tempted Jesus to turn, I think, the stone into bread or whatever. Matthew 4 and verse 4, it says, it is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Think about what he's saying. How are you to live your life? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, how can you live by a standard when you have never installed the program? Well, you can't. You can't. In other words, it's like running a program on your computer. You know, you get ready to open up a program and you realize, I've never installed it. I can't open a program that I haven't installed first. So how can you live by a standard when you've never installed the program? Now, there are things like, I could ask the question, don't answer this, don't show, raise your hand or anything, but, you know, I could say, okay, how many of you have read the Bible all the way through? Now, I've found that some people sort of take a certain amount of pride in, well, I've read the Bible all the way through 3 times in a row. That's going to accomplish you very little. I'm not talking about reading a goal of reading the Bible through in your lifetime, 3 or 4. I'm talking continuous, daily, continuous daily studying the Word of God. Top priority. Got to do it. The Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. One of the things that I noticed as I was reading, let's take this program, Isaiah. There's a lot in there that I don't get. Genealogies, king, the name of kings, places. You know, I'm reading through it and I'm thinking, okay, I'm not really. But what I noticed was an emotional attached. Sometimes you'll read a scripture and it touches your emotions and you think, wow, that sounds like he's talking directly to America or whatever. And so you want to look for that. You know, sometimes we get so hung up on that the things we don't understand. And we overlook that sometimes in just reading the Word, there's an emotional effect that it has on your life where it works with the way you feel when you read certain scriptures and certain things in the Bible. And that's a good thing. Another thing is you've heard of these programs like where you can read through the Bible in 1 year. I've tried that a dozen times, and what I disagree with that is, for me, is, you know, there's 66 books in the Bible. If you had 66 books, you wouldn't go around reading bits and pieces from each one. You know, you need to read, you know, Isaiah was a man. You need to read what Isaiah had to say, you know, completely through it, one book at a time. You'll get more out of it. What I've gotten with those programs that skip around so much is when I'm finished with it, I'm thinking, well, I don't even know what I got out of it. I mean, what did I get out of it? It was here, there, and yonder. That's not the way. If you had 66 books, you wouldn't read bits and pieces from each 66 book. So take, you know, Matthew, take the Gospel of John, take and read it through, and then do it again, and again, and again, and again, and again. We've all had the experience of, you know, you read a scripture, and then 6 months later you read it again, and all of a sudden it has meaning. That's why you got a continuous studying of the Bible. Look at Hebrews 4 and verse 12. It says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." What does this verse tell you about the Word of God? What it tells me is this: if you ever want to discover yourself, why you do the things you do, it's like a know thyself. If you ever want to do that, this is where you start, with the Word of God. How important is this to really know yourself, to discover your own heart, an understanding of yourself that no one else could ever give you? Think about that. An understanding of yourself that no one else could ever give you. What is that worth to you? To really know yourself, your motives, your heart, your desires. Yeah, there's going to be correction. A lot of it. But how important is that? Well, it's very important. James 1 and verse 21. talks about the importance of the Word. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness, superficial naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your souls. That's James 1 and verse 21. And the Word is able to save you from what? Well, filthiness, naughtiness. I mean, think about that. And you think about, okay, can you have salvation without the continuous engrafted Word of God in your life? You know, sometimes, some often we think that, okay, I was baptized, that's it. That's all I needed. But you know, conversion, what brings about conversion? The Word of God. The continuous studying, reading the Word of God. You're talking about changing you, changing me. That's never going to happen if you allow months go by without studying the Word of God. It's never going to happen. Psalms 119 and verse 11 says, this is so powerful, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Think about that. Your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Think about what that's saying. You know, we all have our struggles, our sins that we struggle with. And again, we go back to, you know, well, I thought baptism, that would be the end of that. You know, that took care of all that. Again, you go back to that. How can you live by a standard when you have never installed the program? You can't. You got to have that daily, continuous Word of God. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. And from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And what he was referring to, of course, was the Old Testament when he says all Scripture. It's really something to think about. But again, an understanding of yourself that no one else could give you, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I think a lot of times we study the Bible and we think, I'm not getting anything out of this. And I think one of the reasons for that is we look at the Word of God as a one-time fix. You know, if I can just, you know, get this one quick fix, almost like that's what we're looking for, almost like a druggie with a quick fix. But it's not the way it works, not the way it works at all. It's like eating. You know, how often do you eat? I mean, could you say, oh, I'm not going to eat anything for a month? No, you can't. If you look at, you know, to sustain my life, I've got to have the Word of God. You know, you couldn't say, I don't need to eat today, or I don't need to eat for the next 3 weeks. No, you have to continuously have this. So, when wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul. Now, what is wisdom? Well, one of the things it is, it's the ability to see through things and people. The ability, get that, to see through things and people. Wisdom. Let's take a look at this. In Proverbs, all right, we started in Proverbs 10 and verse Proverbs 2 and verse 10. I'm going to go through this scripture and point out three things here that wisdom will give us and why sometimes our life may not be working as it ought to. It says, we're going to start in Proverbs 10, 2 and verse 10, when wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul, notice first thing that it gives you. Okay, notice this. Verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaks forward things, who leaves the path of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoices to do evil and delight in forwardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they forward in their paths. Notice, this is what wisdom will keep you away from. Now, I want to consider the opposite of this. Suppose you don't have wisdom. Suppose you don't have time to study. Suppose you let weeks go by. Suppose knowledge is not sweetened to your soul. What happens? Well, I've written this out, something quite the opposite of what we just read. All right, when you lack wisdom, you will be manipulated and controlled by the children of disobedience. Their one good quality will blind you to the multiple bad things about them. You will listen to their evil stories. Even though they speak evil, you will condone their evil behavior. You will be influenced by their arrogance, deception, and gross confidence in themselves. You will turn a blind eye to their obvious sins. And this is what happens when you don't have wisdom. In other words, the ability to see through things and people. This is what the Bible will give you. This is what the Word of God can give you. All right, that's one thing it mentions. The second thing, Proverbs 2 and verse 16. To deliver thee from strange women, even from the stranger which flatters with her words, which forsakes the God of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house inclines into death and her paths into dead, into the dead. None that go into there return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Okay, this is what, when wisdom is sweet unto your soul, when you love wisdom, when you love the Word of God, when you study the Word of God. Okay, now what's the opposite of this? If you're lacking this, what will happen? All right, okay, let's take the opposite of this. Women become an object for sexual gratification. Lust rules your spirit. A trashy, cheap, coarse, loud spirit becomes desirable. Gentleness, kindness, sweetness, quietness, modesty no longer is desired. Character and morality is no longer desired in the opposite sex. There is a giving yourself over to a point of no return. Now, I'm just saying the opposite of these things that we're reading here. One is, if you have wisdom, this is how you're living. If you don't have it, this is what happens. Okay. Third point, Proverbs 2 and verse 20. What wisdom will do for you, that you may walk in the way of good men and keep the path of righteousness. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressor shall be rooted out of it. In other words, what this is talking about here is the ability to surround yourself with good people, the kind of people you hang out with. You know, it takes wisdom to do that, to know, you know, should I befriend this person or not? It takes wisdom. Okay, when you lack that, because the Word of God is not in you, this is what happens. Discernment is lost. You no longer have the ability to know the difference between good people and bad people. You assume bad people have good motives. You know, there's a little good in everybody, which, you know, that may be true, but it can blind the eye. You find it nearly impossible to reckon in your mind that there are truly evil people. Some people have that. But, you know, they can't grasp that there are truly evil people in the world. But there are. And you need to be able to identify it. You surround yourself with people that bring you down, tear you down. Your family ties start to fall apart and separate. And you lack discernment and judgment. Now, why? Why would this happen? The failure to know the Word of God. You know, Jesus said this. You need to turn here. John 15 and verse 7. John 15 and verse 7. It's a little condition here that I had overlooked. Jesus is speaking of himself, and he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. He said, John 15 and verse 7, he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. You know, what I sort of overlooked is, I thought, okay, having the Spirit of God is enough. No, it's not. It says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. It's not enough just to receive the Spirit of God. You got to have God's Word abiding in you. Someone once said every failure in life is a prayer failure. And I'm sure it's a lot of truth to that. Prayer is important. But I think every failure in your life is really a word failure. The failure to incorporate the Word of God on a daily basis. Often we look at our problems as external. You know, it's something outside of me. It's the economy. It's the government. It's, you know, I can't find the right mate. I can't find, you know, and if we could go back in time, things would be much better. You ever thought that? You know, things were better, 50 years ago, 100 years ago. Did you know, I came across this, Solomon says, it's Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10. He says, "Say not thou, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this." In other words, don't kid yourself that it was so great 20 years, 50 years ago. You're not wise when you say that. The good old days. Well, what's so good about the good old days? We often look outside of ourselves and we don't realize, no, the real problem is me. It is you. And the only way you're ever going to change you is by the Word of God. It's the only way it's ever going to happen. That's what will make your life work, when you begin to change. Not somebody else, not your circumstances, not the world, not the government. None of that's important. When you begin to change. I think we're trying to run our lives without downloading the Word program. That's what we're really trying to do. When wisdom enters into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul. So, the importance of continuous study of the Bible. I think you have to want this more than anything else. It has to become a top priority. Again, Jesus said in closing, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."